would you turn with me to a very unfamiliar portion of Scripture that we haven't been in, and I don't know that we've ever been there, in Jeremiah. And it'll be the 28th chapter. And as you're doing that, if you will, just stretch your faith this way and pray for me. I appreciate it so. Father, I love you. You're so wonderful. That last song that we did, we just were thinking about that time. That tabernacle that is coming down. Oh God, what a time. We live in the expectation of that time now. It's our heart's joy just to relish in the truth that that day really is coming to pass. We love you so much. You are our hope in the earth. Our hope is not in the arm of flesh, but it is in you. We thank you for your word. We receive grace for grace to speak your word. And we bless you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. This morning when I got up, and of course I was getting up in the aftermath of things, and I know that many of you, like myself, were probably disappointed. I believe that even though there was, in a certain sense, could have been a ambiguousness, not a clear cut for some people in the church. But I believe that if you looked into the Word of God enough, in which we endeavored to do in preparation, we would have found a clear choice that God gave us. And I believe that that really hinged primarily on innocent blood. And so that's what we were fighting for, was innocent blood. And, you know, even when it seems like your vote doesn't count, it does count in heaven, because heaven records everything. And on a given day, we'll all give an account of all the things that we do, the Bible says, while we live in this body. And so I want heaven, if I live to be 90, I've got another 40 years or so, and I'll probably vote again and again and again. And my guy might never get in there, but heaven records how I vote. And so it's in that consciousness that I do what I do. So I was disappointed. I can't say that I wasn't, but I am telling you this, what you already know. They didn't vote Jesus off the throne. Hallelujah. The other thing, too, that I have to recognize is a lot of people that helped put our president back in believed with all sincerity that they were doing the right thing. They believe that you and I are the problem. And they believe that they're sincerely trying to fix our problem. The only thing is that when you leave Jesus out of the equation, you've got a serious problem. And when I was watching what some of you probably watched, some of you probably thought it's not even worth watching, but there's a slang, a sarcasm, that especially in the liberal media, that the vote for where we were trying to get to among evangelical Christians is so out of touch. What they're saying is that we are so out of touch with the reality of the world today that I think they gave some kind of, I can't remember what the estimate was. I think I heard it from you the other day, Ralph, but about the people that actually go to church in America anymore. Basically, they were saying, this is a secular nation. And they were saying, it was a sarcasm, like for people actually to begin to really still believe that we're living in the dark ages when women shouldn't have choices over their own bodies, or, you know, families have to be defined by one certain way, male and female, husband and wife. I mean, they were really saying, like, that is a far gone time in our history, and that America will never be that way again. I do know this for the enemy to get the Antichrist in the earth. And I don't know when he's coming. I do believe, you know, boy, I've seen so many things from scriptures in the last couple of years. God's kind of redone a whole lot of things in my understanding. I don't know when Christ exactly is coming. I do know for the enemy to get done what he needs to do, there has to be a demoralization. There has to be a demoralization of nations where that they begin to submit and submit and submit. Now, in contrast to that, there's going to be something taking place that we see very vividly out of the Word of God, that there's going to be a fire among God's people. And he's going to come back after a glorious church. So it's in that endeavor that we relish and we say praise God and amen. But at the same time, there is going to be this crumbling. There's going to be a demoralization. And when I woke up this morning, I wasn't really searching for scriptures. In fact, I wasn't meditating this in the last few weeks. I don't know when I've ever read this before. But the Holy Spirit, just without me even asking Him for answers or anything, began to pull up this scripture to me and actually began to pull it out of the archives of my understanding. And I didn't even really remember where it was at. So I had to, you know, do my quick word search. And within a minute, I knew right where it was at. And it was in Jeremiah. So you've turned there. Jeremiah, did I say 27, 28? We're going to read there for just a moment, and then my job is real simple tonight, to encourage you as in what I heard from the Lord and what I believe that the Lord is encouraging us. Amazing enough, using some wonderful Old Testament scripture and some things that happened. Let me just bring you up to speed on Jeremiah. Jeremiah is one of those prophetic books that happened during the Babylonian captivity. Now, there are several of those books. Israel developed a kingdom, starting with King David, actually with Saul, but he was replaced by King David. And as a result of it, it was a powerful kingdom for a long time. And then it began to demoralize, and it began to fall away. And then it split into two kingdoms. You had a southern and northern kingdom. You had what was called Israel and Judah. And two different kings ruled for, you know, century after century. But as a result of that, both kingdoms began to demoralize and get weaker and weaker as a result of sin. And God saw that sin had come to a place of full judgment, and He could not hold back judgment anymore. And He actually began to warn His people, I'm going to judge your nation. Jeremiah was one of those powerful voices. Jeremiah, along with, you'll recognize them if you go through them, but they were all kind of contemporaries. Jeremiah, Daniel was one of the young men that was taken away, and his book was written during that time. He was taken away during the Babylonian captivity. When I say Babylonian captivity, God used a very powerful figure called Nebuchadnezzar to come out of Babylon, which is our modern-day Iraq. He came from Iraq, Babylon, came down into Israel, invaded them. Jeremiah, earlier in this book, just a chapter earlier than the one we're going to start in, goes around and warns basically even the other nations and says, look, God is sending judgment, not just to Israel, but He's sending judgments to all these other nations. And He's going to use a man in the earth called Nebuchadnezzar. He is the most powerful figure on the planet earth. If you submit to His judgment, in other words, once He comes in, He was coming in and He was going to conquer, but He was also going to let them stay in their lands if they would submit to Him. And Jeremiah was saying, look, even to you, Israel, if you will submit to God's judgment, then you'll be able to keep your country. You'll basically be under His rulership, but if you resist Him, you'll come to ultimate destruction. And that's what happened. But Jeremiah, Daniel, Nehemiah was later on. He was a book during the Babylonian captivity. He comes back to kind of rebuild. Esther was written during that time. She was over there in Babylon. All these books, several of them, and several different prophets. But here Jeremiah is prophesying, and we're just going to read some. And I think that's really good that we get to read out of the Word of God. But let's just start reading, and we'll get to some points as we do read. But really, our point is over in chapter 29. But it came to pass in verse 1 of chapter 28, in the same year, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year, in the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Azur, the prophet, which was of Gibeon, spake unto me in the house of the Lord. Now he's saying he spake unto me, Jeremiah, in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests and all the people. Sounds like a big church service, doesn't it? Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts. Now this prophet is about to speak, and he's going to say something. The Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 years will I bring again into this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried them into Babylon. Now stop, and if you will, just kind of follow along with me. They were having a big gathering. Something tremendously astronomical had happened to their nation. Something far more, you know, detrimental, dramatic, traumatic than what we that are disappointed have just went through. They actually had an invading army came down. They actually invaded their chief city and destroyed it. And then, worst of all, took the relics, which was a major part of the religious sacrifice and the offering to God, and it was part of their praise and worship. It was part of everything. All of the articles of the temple left with them. And he took all these captives with him, and he took all of the hierarchy and the people that ruled with him. And basically, you're getting a snapshot of something that has happened, and the people are gathering, but he didn't take all the people. He left some. He left a lot. And the ones that were left, Jeremiah was one of those prophets. Well, there were others so-called prophets, and we began to read about one of those prophets standing up and speaking. But all this had basically happened, and it had not happened long. And they were like trying to pick up the pieces of their life. And their friends, their families, some of their moms and dads. You know, mainly it was the best of the best that he took. So it was the younger generation that he took away. So, I mean, he split families. And he took them away to modern day Iraq. That's where he took them. They were a long, long ways away, and he took all of everything from the temple. So they were basically demoralized. They were just like hopeless. Well, this prophet stands up, and he begins to speak. Hananiah, the son of Azur, this prophet begins to speak, and he prophesies what we just read. In 2 years, I'll bring again into this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that the Nebuchadnezzar, the king from Babylon, took away from this place and carried into Babylon. I can tell you what, that must have brought kind of an uproar. That must have, I mean, this guy prophesies and says, I got a word. I got a word. I know he just left, but in 2 years it's going to be back. The king's coming back, and all the people's coming back. And all of the gold and all the silver and all the relics is coming back, and we're going to get it all back. And Jeremiah's standing there, and all the people are standing there, and they're probably going, yay, yay, yay. In verse 4 it says, and I will bring again into this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah that went into Babylon. And he pronounces, saith the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. I bet the people thought, my God, this feels good today. Then the prophet Jeremiah said unto the prophet Hananiah. Now here's prophet to prophet, face to face. Okay. He said unto Hananiah in the presence of the priest and in the presence of all the people that stood in the house of the Lord. Even the prophet Jeremiah said, amen. He said, okay, amen. The Lord do so. I'm not against the Lord doing such a thing. The Lord perform thy words which thou hast prophesied. to bring again the vessels for the Lord's house and all that is carried away captive from Babylon into this place. Nevertheless, hear thou now this word that I speak in thine ears and in the ears of all the people. The prophets that have been before me and before thee of old prophesied both against many countries and against great kingdoms of war and of evil and of pestilence. The prophets which prophesied of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord hath truly sent him. Street language, plain and simple. The prophets that prophesied peace, and it came to pass, then they were prophets, true prophets. In other words, a prophet is verified by what really comes to pass. He said, you just prophesied peace. You just said 2 years, we're going to get all this back. 2 years, you know, it's going to all change. Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke from off the prophet Jeremiah's neck and break it. In the earlier chapter, God told him, make these wooden yokes. You know, they were very picturistic. Make these wooden yokes, put it on your neck and say, this symbolizes the bondage that you're about to come under. And in this church service, you got these two prophets prophesying to each other. This one just prophesied and brought the house down. We're getting it all back. God's bringing them all back in. 2 years, we're going to get this all back. The gold's coming back. The people's coming back. The king's coming back with them. And everybody's going to be happy. It's going to be one joyous occasion. And then Jeremiah steps up. He said, you know what? Amen. I'm for God's goodness taking place. I'm for God's house being restored. I'm for people coming back. Just got one thing to say. Prophecies are only verified by them coming to pass. And then this man, after he heard this, he came over, took the yoke off of the prophet Jeremiah's neck, break it on the floor. And Hananiah spake in the presence of all the people, saying, thus saith the Lord, even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all the nations within the space of 2 full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. I mean, here it is prolifically just being, demonstrated. I tell you, just like that yoke that was just broke. Boy, you can feel it, man. I mean, he's probably got the Holy Ghost shakes. I'm telling you right there, that's what God's going to do to your enemies. Hallelujah. Jeremiah just quietly goes his way. Verse 12 says, then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet. After that, Hananiah the prophet had break the yoke from off the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, now he goes back to him privately, go tell Hananiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, thou hast broken the yokes of wood, but thou shalt make for them yokes of iron. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron upon the necks of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him. And I will give him the beast of the field also. Then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah the prophet, hear now, Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent thee, but thou makest this people to trust in a lie. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die, because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet, and let's see, was Jeremiah, which one of them was the prophet? So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the 7th month. Well, put my money on Jeremiah. If a man tells you you're going to die, and you die soon thereafter, it was verified. Now, you may not be around to verify it, but everybody else says, oh, let's see. Jeremiah, easy to figure. Well, what was the word of the Lord? Then you get it in 29. Now, these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem into the residue of the elders which were carried away captive, and to the priests and to the prophets and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. So God set him down and he prophesied through a letter. Jeremiah's in Jerusalem, but he's sending this letter to Babylon and he's sending it to the people. After that, Jeconiah the king and the queen. Now I'm going to skip those two and I'm just going to go down to what he's, because it's just giving you some backdrop there, background, or who said who or who's related to who. Verse 4 actually brings you in on this letter, this word of the Lord, this prophecy. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon, build ye houses, dwell in them, and plant gardens, and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives, and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons. And give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased therein, and not diminished. So right there, he's beginning to tell them this. Settle in. Settle in and relax and get ready for the long haul. He's telling them, make families. Make families, but the better part is yet ahead. Relax, set up housekeeping, set up businesses, grow gardens, settle in. Why? And seek. Now this is beautiful. Verse 7 says, because he's talking to captives, they are part of God's judgment. But the beautiful part is what I want you to see is, even in judgment, there's tremendous mercy. Tremendous mercy. And even in captivity, there's liberty. Which is so amazing to me. Even in captivity, there's liberty. Tremendous liberty. Can you say that with me? In captivity, there's liberty. Hallelujah. Only God can do that. He said, and seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captive. And pray. Now this is the beautiful part. Seek the peace and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. Hallelujah. In other words, pray for the wherever your feet land in Babylon. Many of you are going to that chief city. But wherever you land, wherever you're at, pray for the peace of that place. That there come an umbrella over that city where you're captive, so that in that peace that comes into that place, you will dwell in the peace thereof. Hallelujah. In other words, you will create, even though you're going into bondage, you'll create an atmosphere of peace that surrounds you so you can live out your days, even in captivity, in the peace of God. Isn't that great? That's so wonderful. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets, and he warns them, while those guys that went, whoever esteems himself a prophet over there with you, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which ye cause to be dreamed. Isn't that amazing? Now that gives us an insight. Do you know the well-wishing? I sincerely pray with all of my heart. In fact, you'll see me wait sometimes. And I'm not embellishing myself. I pray not, so I'm using an example. You'll see me wait at times in prophecy. Because I want nothing to come out of me. Even when I know certain things about you and I know the Lord wants to encourage you, I can give you encouragement by just saying the word. But I wait. The word says to wait. So I sometimes even I'm going fast, I've got to a point where, I mean, at that point of waiting where he's released me, so I know it's okay. But what this tells us there is your own psyche, your own desire can make you dream dreams or prophesy and say, I'm telling you, this is what God's saying about it. I don't know if any of you will remember Dave's illustrations about trips to the barbershop. God told me to go do that. And then you get there, it's closed. I've had my trips to the barbershop. Hey, there's no condemnation in that. We're just learning. Amen. We just got to keep learning. I don't know how long we're going to keep learning. Forever, I guess. But here he said, look, if the prophets start telling you, we're going back, he said they're producing that out of their own spirit. They're producing that out of their own want to. Well, I had a dream. Okay, just take a little bit of time and pray that thing out. Was your dream his dream or your dream? Okay? But he said, they're going to tell you, I had dreams, I had visions, I had prophecy. God's sending us back. He said, don't believe it. Don't believe it, because here's what the word of the Lord is. He says, verse 9, they shall prophesy falsely unto you in my name, and I have not sent them, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord. Now here's what God says. That after 70 years that be accomplished at Babylon, I'll visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts, and here's that famous scripture that we often quote. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me, and you'll find me, and when you search for me with all of your hearts, and I'll be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into this place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Hallelujah. What he was saying to them was this: settle in. Now, we don't have something to that magnitude, but this is what, here's the essence of the beauty. We've already said it. That no matter what administration or wherever we are at, as who rules or who doesn't, we're creating an atmosphere for revival. And what we always need to do is to know this. Jesus, as I said earlier, he was not voted in or out last night. He's still where he was, the Lord of the church. And what he really wants us to do is continue to pray for our government. Continue to pray. Don't speak evil of our president, but speak of the wisdom of God. Pray for his salvation. Pray for the good things of God. And settle in. Just settle in. And I don't know who's going to come after him, but whoever it is, we have to know this. We have to plant vineyards. We have to raise families. We have to live in the peace of the peace that we create in Jesus' name. And it doesn't matter who's around us or what comes or what goes. And I don't know what the next term is or the term thereafter. I do know this: Jesus is coming back, and that tabernacle is coming down. And so we just have to continually remind ourselves that our expectation is not in the arm of the flesh. Like, okay, if we'd have got this guy in, then things, man, God, we could have really rested in peace. He told them, look, it's really good. Even when you begin to understand a lot about what's happening in the book of Revelation, knowledge is a wonderful thing because it settles you in. It begins to prepare you for the future. It begins to say, okay, wait a minute. It's not necessarily going to get better, is it? No. But at the same time, can there be more peace? Yes. Can there be more power? Yes. Can there be more a strength of unity in the family and the home? Yes. How can this dichotomy work? I mean, how can you have one? Only God can do it. Only God can say, you're a captive. I'm sending you away a captive, but live in peace in your captivity. Only God. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. And it all comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. So Jeremiah said, he eased them as a pastor. He said, guys, you're not coming back. You're not coming back, and you're not coming back soon. But I will prosper you in that place where your feet land. So praise God. And I take great joy in that. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Please.
Thank you, Jesus. All right. Man, that's good. That's real good. I woke up this morning with such a joy. I didn't understand it exactly. I still don't understand it. I just sent Maria a text. I'm like, strangely, I'm very encouraged this morning. And I mean, I wasn't super depressed last night or anything like that, because, you know, it was what it was. And I like you expressed, I know where I cast my vote. And excuse me. I don't know exactly what I'm going to say. I know it's an encouragement. I felt from the beginning I needed to come up, and then everything you said just kind of laid a little bit of a groundwork. And thank you, Lord. But for me, I mean, these are the days we were born into. This is what we were born for. And like Jeremiah, and like Daniel, and like the prophets that God has raised up continually since the beginning to prophesy life, to prophesy hope, to prophesy expectation, testifying of the living God, this thing's overtaking me that God wants to be known. He wants to be known. That's what this is all about. Everything is about Him being known. He had the design in the beginning, the original intent for man, for God to dwell with man. That's His heart. That's where it's all going. And He's doing everything necessary to bring that about. And He's invited us into it. He's invited us into it. So I woke up encouraged this morning. This thing doesn't, there's nothing in me shaking at all. I understand fully what the vote means, though. Don't misunderstand. The blood of those babies is crying out. Don't misunderstand that Florida voted down the Sixth Amendment. Okay, we can't misunderstand that and what that means to God, to the nation. But as the people of God, we stand in the midst. And we prophesy life, and we prophesy hope, and we prophesy expectation, and we make His name known. Who we are, it's to make Him known. Who He's making us to be is to make Him known. It's not just to our benefit. Now, Alex and I were talking about this the other day. Most of the, you know, we're all learning, like you said. And some of the way we preach the gospel a lot of times is really weak because we're selling the benefit of knowing Jesus, right? We're preaching His benefits versus Him, right? But He's doing this in us. He's bringing forward this testimony of the living God, not of things we've all testified before, you know, over here and over there. And no, it's Jesus. He's the one in the midst of the throne. He's the one that the entirety of heaven is surrounding and gazing upon. And they're captivated and they can't stop. That's not moved. It's not changed. And He knows. He knows the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end. And it's not deterring Him from working His work in you and you and me and saying, come on, Matt. Like I testified the one time, first half of the year, be who you are in me. Be who I'm making you to be. Because sometimes we don't do that. Sometimes, I mean, we have confidence in God and we have confidence in what He's doing, but we get out in the world and we shrink back a little bit because there's a communication gap and we understand that. But at the same time, what He's doing is real. It's reality. It's light and it's life to the world. And this is what we're in the midst of. And all the things that we do and the way we live our life is only to know Him and to make Him known. The priesthood, one of my favorite scriptures it's repeated in Ezekiel and I'm missing it in the other. But He's talking about the priesthood discerning the holy from the common. It's the holy from the common. The common. We live in the common. So, you know, we're steeped in the common ourselves. And He's drawing us out of that into this place of fellowship with Him. So we're coming in with Him and out. And in the midst of opportunity, we can say, you know what, but this is what God says about that. And it brings light to the situation without condemnation. It brings reality to the situation. And I had an unbelievable day. It was Holy Spirit just like orchestrated an incredible day. But I was so privileged because one thing happened that was just like that. And I really I didn't think to do testimony till now, but there's a man in the community that many of us know, and he's been in church all his life, and he's a Christian. And I'm standing with another Christian brother, and we'd been praying, and God had been speaking, and so he walks up and he starts talking about the election. And it was foul. I mean, it was worldly foul. It wasn't foul in the way the world is foul. It was just worldly. It was like, can you believe? And this is, you know. So I was like, okay, Lord, this isn't right, and I'm not going to stand here and let this go. I know I can feel what you're doing already. I can feel it building. What do I do? So I waited. And this is an elder to me. This is a man that's helped me in my life. And, you know, he wasn't a dad to me, but he grew up with my dad. So he's that age, and I have great respect to him, and I'm listening to him talk, and I'm like, Lord, what am I going to do here? But I could feel the strength rising. I could feel the truth rising. And I said, you know what? I hear you. But, and then I just began to, the word just started flowing, and then it led right into a prayer. And he received it, you know? And we all three walked away with something greater than what we had when we were there together before we walked up. And then, within a few minutes, I saw something that had happened in my life that he was a part of that was really good. And it was a marker point in my walk with Christ years and years ago. And the Lord said, encourage him with it. And then I just began to just talk to him about it and thank him and bless him. And this hard man, he didn't want me to see, but he was wiping tears from his eyes. You know, I mean, this is who we are. Well, there's no fear, you know, that judgment and mercy, they're really one. You know, God desires people. And if those things, as those things, because they will come to pass. We understand it's the mercy of God to draw men to Him. Okay? And so we're going to stand in the midst with great words of life and light and hope and expectation. And we're going to testify of the living God, whose desire is for men, whose desire is that none would perish, but that all would repent and come to God. So we stand there with that in the midst of this, and we prophesy as prophets, as voices of righteousness without compromise, you know, to this vote and these things. And there's no room really to talk about these issues except with truth. So we have to allow God to purify us in those things, because we are, you know, we're coming, you know, we're being, as I was saying to somebody, we're being conformed to the image of Christ. So if we didn't need to be conformed, given we're coming from somewhere, and He's molding and shaping us, and He's strengthening us, especially you young men. I mean, we're all young men. We're going to live forever. You know, something God settled in me years ago now. You know, you celebrate your birthday, man, you're going to live forever. It's 44 years. What's a trillion and 44, you know? You're going to be Matt then. You're going to be the things I'm doing in you today are going to be part of you then. Live like that. Let it be building blocks, foundational things that God's doing in you and building you up into the man and the woman that He desires you to be. It's all today. It's all right here, right now, testifying of the living God. And as we go forward, and we're all learning what's in the Word about what it says, but there's no fear for the men of God, men and women of God. There's only life and truth and the testimony of Jesus that brings men to Him, right? Not to the benefits, not to peace, as good as it is, they'll receive that. Not to joy, you know, all the things we really love, but to Him. Because He's the only one that's going to bring them through what's ahead. He's the only one, as we sing the songs. You alone are able to keep me. You keep me. You who hold the seven stars, you keep me. And you're able to present me before yourself, blameless and holy at your appearing. And we can look forward to that, and we can present ourselves to Him and rest and say, God, you know me. I have nothing to hide. You're making me the man you want me to be. And then in the world, in the work day, every day, help me. Just be that. And you'll do the rest. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Woo. Some wonderful stuff in there. So praise God. Encouragement. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, we just worship you for those wonderful things. Lord, you are making us so much more than ourselves. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Julio, why don't you come up and pray over this? You know, as you're praying, you may want to just exhort for a minute or so. I mean, I'm putting him on the spot now, but he's full of it. Not full of it like Kathy says he's full of it. Not like Kathy says he's full of the good stuff. So just act like you're in my garage, you know. Yeah. Just
first of all, we just need to pray for our president again. You know, he is our president, so, and we got to love him just like you would love each other, you know, here in the church. And, you know, sometimes it's even hard loving each other, but that's the way the Father would want it to be. You know, it's not about Democrat or Republican, because, you know, as 1 John says, we're not of this world anymore. Hallelujah. We're of Christ. Yes. So that's the view that we have to look at it. You know, we still, as long as we're in this tabernacle, we still have to participate and do our part, like Pastor said. You know, we cast your vote, but, you know, maybe we didn't get the man in office, but in heaven, you know, it's recorded. So, you know, we just pray for each other and pray for everybody in office. You know, he does hear our prayers.
Share some of, you know, some of the things the Lord showed you about the call.
Yeah, the Lord's, you know, been showing me in prayer, and I was sharing with Pastor that, you know, about revival, that, you know, it's going to come. And, you know, I know him to, me and Kathy are supposed to be entrepreneurs. And our mind wanders a little bit, like, Father, how are you going to get this money to me, you know, to help, you know, provide for the church and, you know, this and that. And the Lord's like, slow down. You're getting too far ahead. Just focus on diving in the Word, you know, and rooting yourself in the foundation and getting strong. So he started showing me a couple years ago. I was in the front yard trying to yank some oak trees that were kind of in the way of me building a fence. And I'd hook up the truck, put 4x4, and little trees about maybe 2 inches thick. And I'd get a running start and try to yank them out, and I couldn't pull them out. It's like, man, you know, I don't think it's my truck. It's a Ford truck, you know. But, you know, he started showing me that, you know, even though it's a little tree, you know, it had deep roots. He goes, and you to be like this tree, you know, you get bigger, the deeper your roots are going to be. So just keep enrooting yourself in the Word, building your foundation that gets bigger and bigger, which is Christ, and everything will take care of itself. He said, by the way, you're not waiting on the money. The money's waiting on you to get right. Amen. So we just thank you, Father, that you're waiting on us to get right, that the money's already been provided. And we just thank you, Lord, for all your blessings. And we just call our president blessed and born again. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's fantastic. Praise God. Man, we've got a wonderful problem around here. We've got too many preachers that are qualified. Hallelujah. All right, would you prepare something tonight and go home encouraged? And you've heard two or three different wonderful, all together, unified in one message. So if you have something to give, you can bring it as we once again close this service in fellowship. So if you would, stand with me. This offering's been blessed. You're blessed. How many had a wonderful time tonight? Hallelujah. We receive these words of encouragement from these men, and we bless them. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Bless the family of God. Don't forget who's going to be here Sunday besides for Jesus, Pastor Dave Roberson. Okay, God bless you. You can bring this forward if you have something. Amen.